Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest told her story about having sickle cell anemia on Morning Edition today to raise awareness about the disease. Joining me is Bree Person, who reported on sickle cell for WNYC's Radio Rookies Project, which puts microphones in the hands of New York area teenagers. Hi, Bree. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your Radio Rookies piece.
Thank you.
And also with us is Dr. Suzette Oyeku. She's a pediatrician at the Children's Hospital at Montefiore and on the faculty of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva University, and serves as project director for the Working to Improve Sickle Cell Healthcare Program at the National Initiative for Children's Healthcare Quality. Thank you, Doctor, so much for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
And, Bree, I want to start with a clip that we cut together of some of your friends from your piece talking to you about sickle cell and you.
What do you know about sickle cell?
Don't remember.
Yes, I have it.
You do?
Yes.
Did I?
Wait, what? She
does. Here we go. I get, like, pains in my legs.
What you're saying is that you can't walk?
Well, you know how your cells are, like, circular?
Yours are square. Rhombus.
No, let me just say it.
Well, Bree, just say it. For those listeners who don't know, what is sickle cell anemia?
Sickle cell is a genetic disease that I was born with that causes a lot of severe pain within my limbs, such as my legs or my arms or my chest. And it can escalate to me going to the hospital. And my cells are C-shaped. So most of the time, it clumping together can cause, like, the severe pain to just continue.
And Dr. Oyeku, help us with some terminology as we get into this discussion. I guess there's sickle cell trait, there's sickle cell anemia, sickle cell crisis, and there's sickle cell disease. Are they all different?
They are. So sickle cell disease encompasses the family of conditions that are related. It's a lifelong, it's a chronic illness, as Bree mentioned, and it's the most common genetic disease that's picked up through newborn screening. And it disproportionately affects people of color in the U.S. Sickle cell trait is pretty much that you're a carrier of one of the sickle cell genes, so you're not completely affected. Generally, most people do not visibly know that they have sickle cell trait. You can find out by a simple blood test to know whether or not you have sickle cell trait. Sickle cell anemia is what we call is the most common type of sickle cell disease, and that's generally known by hemoglobin SS, so that you've inherited two copies of the sickle cell gene.
And listeners, if you have a sickle cell story of your own to tell or a question, we'll have time for a few calls in this segment. If anybody does have anything, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here's another clip from Bree Person's Radio Rookie piece, which aired this morning originally on WNYC. This is her mother and father talking about how she copes.
You kind of got it together.
That's something that I always feel so good about when I see you. Feel like, you know what, I can do it.
There was a time where it did look like, you know, you were really feeling bad, and I actually tried to feed you then, and you were like, I got it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh,
that made me so happy because I was like, oh, my gosh, she gets it.
So, Bree, again, great piece. And you refer to yourself in the piece as two Brees. There's sickle cell Bree and super Bree. Can you explain that a little more?
Well, sickle cell Bree is, she's sick a lot, of course. Her name is sickle cell Bree. And she goes through all the downsides of having the disease. It's very debilitating. You can't do much. And it's very depressing to talk about. And super Bree is more of the outgoing, want to be out there, want to take advantage of whatever life throws at her. And sometimes mixing up the two can be difficult because I might have opinions about something, but I don't know if it's my actual opinion or my opinion on the fact that I have the disease.
Mm. Have you had to miss a lot of school for this?
I do have to miss a lot of school.
How do you stay on top of your work?
I ask for extra work whenever I go to school. I say, if I miss anything, please email it to me or just give me extra work now just in case I might get sick later.
And, doctor, I've seen estimates that between 60 and 80% of patients with sickle cell disease are African Americans. Can you explain why?
Generally, yes. So generally, sickle cell disease is predominantly found in individuals of African ancestry, and that dates back to the inheritance pattern of the sickle cell gene. Sickle cell gene was actually found to be protective against malaria, and so you see the diffusion of the sickle cell gene primarily in Africa, but also in the Mediterranean and then in the Caribbean when you saw African immigrants moving to the Caribbean. So those are the populations predominantly affected by sickle cell disease. But sickle cell is growing most rapidly in the Latino population. So we see in New York definitely our Dominican and Puerto Rican families who are affected. And then we're increasingly seeing sickle cell disease in other racial and ethnic groups.
Especially as we are increasingly a biracial and multiracial country?
Exactly, exactly.
Let's take a phone call. Elizabeth in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was tested for sickle cell anemia, not anemia, for the genetic marker when I was in elementary school. I went to public school in Washington, D.C. in the early 70s, and there was an active public health campaign to educate people about sickle cell and to test kids for sickle cell. And when we went to get to hand in the permission slips, they said, well, you don't have to do this because you're white. And I brought it home anyway, and my mother said, well, you know, they're testing, so you might as well find out. There are lots of genetic diseases that people carry. Find out if they test for Tay-Sachs. I'm like, no, Mom, they're just testing for sickle cell. And I'm not a carrier, which my obstetrician thought was super weird when I first visited when I was pregnant, and he suggested genetic testing. And I said, well, I'm not a carrier for sickle cell. And he said, you know this how? And I explained. And he said, you're the first white person I know who's ever been tested for this.
So what do you think about this after having, you know, had this unusual experience in your life?
Well, I learned a lot about genetic testing. My daughter is now in college, and she is getting an MS in biology and specializing in genetics. So when she's asked about genetic testing that my husband and I went through when we were starting to have children. Yeah, pregnant with her, actually. Well, I was pregnant with her. My husband, not so much. She also thought it was very strange that I'd been tested for sickle cell. So.
Yeah, I guess I've fallen into that trap as a dad of saying, we're pregnant. But my wife was pregnant. Okay, Elizabeth, thank you very much. That's a really interesting story. It sounds like your awareness certainly of the disease was raised as a result of your experience. Doctor, you've discovered a funding disparity in research between sickle cell and other kinds of blood disorders. Could you explain some of your findings?
Yes. So my colleagues, several of my colleagues in Boston, Dr. Smith, Dr. Homer, and Dr. Zuckerman, we had done an analysis to look at NIH funding for sickle cell disease compared to other chronic illnesses, specifically cystic fibrosis, which disproportionately, which primarily affects white Americans. And we found that the funding for sickle cell disease paled in comparison to the funding for cystic fibrosis. And we looked at not only NIH funding, but we also looked at public and philanthropic funding. And the CF Foundation has done a really significant job in terms of funding for cystic fibrosis. The disparity is that cystic fibrosis primarily affects about 30,000 individuals in the U.S., while sickle cell disease is the most common genetic condition and affects upwards of 100,000 individuals.
Hmm. How do you explain the disparity? One is more easy to raise funding for than others for some reason?
So I think there are multiple factors, but I think part part of it is also the capitals, the social capital. As we talked about earlier, we know that sickle cell disease disproportionately impacts individuals of color. And so these some of the populations definitely are not in a position to have extra resources to contribute towards funding and research and advances in treatment. So you definitely see that disparity in terms of the philanthropic funding. I think the NIH has definitely, over the last couple of years, has increased their support towards sickle cell disease, and you've seen the Secretary Sebelius has actually designated sickle cell disease as a priority area of focus, and that means that several federal agencies have begun to start working together to develop strategies to improve the quality of care for individuals with sickle cell disease around the U.S.
That's interesting about Dr. Sebelius trying to sort of put this on the map again. And Bree, I gather that was the impetus for you to choose this topic for your Radio Rookies piece, too. You knew about the funding disparity and you wanted to raise awareness about the disease?
Yes.
With your story?
Yes, I did.
And so here we are talking about it on another show. So you accomplished it, at least for here today. Let's take another call. Bevel in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi, Brian, Lara. My name is Bevel Hines. I'm just calling because this morning I heard a young lady's story, and it's so compelling. It's just a few times that you actually hear about sickle cell. I mean, but in my surrounding, it seems so prevalent. You know, like so many people have it. And the thing that bugs me the most is that you don't hear too much about it. And when you go to like the hospital, when I have a crisis, I have a disease. When you go to the hospital, you have the crisis. The specialists, they don't seem to understand exactly what you're going through. They'll keep like asking you questions like, move around, roll over. And they, I know they're doing tests, but sometimes get to be too overbearing. And it's the same question they ask you. And with my condition is, as soon as my heart rate increases, the pain would just like increase like tenfold. Huh. And somebody just want to lie in like a fetal position and try not to move as best as possible. But they keep asking you to move around.
Doctor, any advice for Bevel?
So I think, Bevel, definitely you've been living with this for a long time. I think making sure that you're getting care from both a sickle cell specialist or hematologist and a primary care provider is going to be key. So really coordinated care is really the key to making sure that you are able to live a fulfilled life. I think definitely we know making sure you avoid extremes of temperature in terms of either extreme cold weather, extreme hot weather is definitely another thing. And then making sure that you're eating well is, that's basic kind of basic type of information that we all need. And then making sure you're keeping up with your appointments and taking the medications that are recommended. I'm not sure if you're aware of hydroxyurea, but it is the one FDA-approved drug for sickle cell disease. And we know many people who could potentially benefit from hydroxyurea are not currently on it. So you might consider talking to your doctor about that as well.
Bevel, good luck. And I want to thank our guests. Bree Person, WNYC Radio Rookie, whose piece on this originally aired on Morning Edition today, and Dr. Suzette Oyeko. She's a pediatrician at Children's Hospital at Montefiore on the faculty of Albert Einstein College and more. And you can hear Bree's whole piece at wnyc.org. Bree and Dr. Oyeko, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.